To be honest, I'm tired of the resurrection. Or not the resurrection, but resurrections in general. It seems like everyone is coming back from the dead these days. I think like pretty much every character in the Marvel Universe has done it at least once. And it seems like it's just like becoming this escape hatch when the writer has backed themselves into a corner. It's just like, I don't know, twist, the guy comes back from the dead. So I was thinking, like, maybe Christianity should just, like, make the rounds and apologize. We just say something like, we're not exactly sure how this happened, but this resurrection thing has really gotten out of hand, and we're super sorry about all this bad writing. But then again, the more I looked into the resurrection, the more obvious that this really wasn't our story. This isn't really a Christian story. So you take the Canaanite myth. Baal, the storm god of fertility, offends the god of death, Mot, by feeding him wine and bread, and not the flesh and blood of man, which is his favorite. So Mot eats Baal and goes back to his kingdom in the underworld. And his sister, Anatha, Baal's sister, Anatha, pursues Mot and brutally kills him, scatters his ashes all over, and basically returns her brother back to his throne on Mount Saphon. So almost all the religions in the Mediterranean have stories of their own, and beyond there too. So Osiris gets resurrected, Melkor gets resurrected, Adonais gets resurrected, Eshmun gets resurrected, Desmudid, the Sumerian god of shepherds, doesn't mourn his sister Ainonian's death enough, and when she is resurrected, she has the demons drag him down into the underworld. Well, she comes to regret the decision and decrees that then each year, Desmudi, the god of shepherds, and their other sister, Geshetinana, will each spend 6 months in the underworld, hence summer and winter. And so I didn't really put it together until I went on this micro survey of these stories. But the resurrection narrative is so obviously bound up with the seasons, the harvest, the movement of planets, the light returning to the world. So, of course, this myth would be repeated over and over again all over the world. It's happening in the sky. You could even say that the resurrection story articulates the experience of a full day. There's the glorious rise of the sun, its indisputable rule of the sky. And then there's the fall, the sun tumbling down the sky and crashing into the horizon. It enters the underworld. The sky grows dark and empty until it seems that all hope is lost. And then the dawn. As above, so below. This is the key to all mysteries. Or so says the Emerald Tablet. The Emerald Tablet, the most revered magical document in Western occultism. And this is actually the idea, the core idea that undergirds all magic. And actually, Laura, I think, was talking about this as well. The microcosm is the macrocosm is the microcosm. So the universe is the same as God. God is the same as the human. The human is the same as the cell. The cell is the same as the atom. The world is a dynamic interconnectedness, a web of which no strand is autonomous. Mind and body, galaxy and atom, sensation and stimulus, it's all intimately bound up in each other. So now, in the church that I grew up in, saying that Christ's resurrection had something to do with other myths, or the harvest, or the sun, definitely getting the raised eyebrow, talking about an emerald tablet, that's full-on pagan, tree-worshipy, hippie, leftist commie talk. And I understand that impulse. And I think it's because the resurrection that we've inherited, the Christian tradition, is more of a superhero story, right? We have Jesus, he dies, he goes to hell, he beats up the devil, and then he shows up triumphant with his boys before flying up into the sky. But when you actually read the gospel story, it's far more mysterious and strange. What happened in the underworld? We don't really get a lot of details on that. But what we do know is that our story, the Christian story, ends much differently than the standard. See, in most resurrection narratives, the good guy comes back and he murders every single person that caused his death. It's a massacre. We see this in Bale. We see this in The Matrix. We see this in pretty much every superhero movie. Paul Atreides in Dune returns and snuffs out entire planets. He boasts about massacring trillions of people that oppose him. So for the Empire, for the standard narrative, the resurrection is about getting even. But in our story, Jesus does not respond to our violence with violence. He doesn't attempt to wield the weapons of empire against those who killed him. And it's not that political revolution wasn't in the water. First century Palestine was full of messiahs attempting to liberate the Jewish people from Rome, both before Christ and after. And he chose peace and mercy instead. And it's really hard to understand how his redemption works in the world. But I've been thinking a lot about the Buddhist mantra or phrase, the green mountains are always walking. And it takes a long time for a mountain to grow, to move, but they do. And I've been wondering if this is how Christ's resurrection works, like this hard pea under the mattress of the universe, shifting the world fundamentally a centimeter a century. And that makes a lot more sense to me than an epic weekend of kicking ass. Because these cycles of violence are so deeply encoded in our history, in our psyche, in our DNA, I don't think that they're going to be solved in one weekend, no matter how epic. And Christ's resurrection leads us out of the cycle of violence, the empire's hunger for power, and toward the abundance, a world where we are for each other. Not because we are good and strong and moral people, but because the world has been transformed. And it will take a long time, but the story is already inside us, outside us, working its strange redemption, whether or not we're sick of it or need it, or whether or not we're even aware of it at all. The revolution is in the harvest, the depths of winter, the spring sky at dawn. It's in the soil. It's in this room right now.